Now, I was calling Storm a good boy. Storm the cat, not Storm the guest. Storm the hopefully returning guest this month.
And I am so glad me and him are now back on better terms.
Good, good, good.
First thing is he did is he reinvited me to doing some treasure maps.
Well, that's good. That is excellent. So, hello and welcome to Stargate Oversight, a podcast about the US military show Stargate, starring three British people. I'm Hope Frayle, my pronouns are she and it, and I have overthrown the despicable Frosty regime. She has been ousted. She has been removed. We have sent her to the Hazbin Hotel, where she will never be coming back from.
Fuck off.
I in reality, Frosty is off doing real life shit, so I'm hosting the podcast for a bit. But we still have Ryan, who would rather be playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth,
Remake, rebirth, yeah.
because listeners, we're recording this on the Final Fantasy VII day. And yeah, Frost, what's actually happened is Frosty was crushed by that herd of chocobos on the Google homepage. And replacing Frosty for an unknown period of time.
For the foreseeable future.
Temporary, let's be real. You probably got did were in season two enough to get like a partial host credit.
I know. At this point, I'm starting to see my own silhouette showing up on the thumbnails.
We're catching up. Come on, who are you?
I'm an enigma. You don't know who I am, but you do know who I am. My name is Blaze Hilarious. My pronouns are she or her, or she and it, if you so wish to go there.
Oh, I don't think I gave my name a pronouns. You just talked about me.
Ryan's just Ryan. You all know Ryan. He doesn't need
Ryan
an
is the
intro.
man who lives in your phone.
He's the man who lives on your phone, who peeks at you through your mirror. His
Do
real name is Melo.
not confuse Ryan for the man who lives in your wall. You need to call 911 and ask for a Warframe to deal with that problem.
You need to call 10-10-0.
Ah, fuck, why did I not think of that? All right. So we're doing back to back, and we're starting with an episode that I have just titled Jack O'Neill Kidnaps a Child.
Yeah, you pretty much boil this episode down to that. There you go, first episode done. Let's
Yeah, all
move
right,
on to the
next episode,
second.
everyone. So yeah, welcome to the archaeology planet where they are doing archaeology, and the Stargate is bronze, I guess, for some reason. I'm just going to say it's the lighting.
They unlocked the glam prisms of that world and decided the Stargate was a different color.
Let's be real. You would just dye the Stargate in fat cat colors.
I
would.
Speaking of Stargate, what episode are we talking about today?
I can't get a fuck. I can't remember what the actual name is. It's
Season
Blake.
3, Episode 5. It is
Yeah.
called The Learning
Learning
Curve.
curve. That's it.
There we go. I was like,
Listen.
what do you say? I can't remember. I'm like, are you serious?
Yes, no, it's in yes, the document is called Kidnapping. The name of the room is Jack O'Neill Kidnaps a Child.
Hi everybody, I'm Blaise Lyris, and I'm now the new host of the podcast because apparently
No,
Hope has
no,
forgotten her role.
no! You're just stealing it. No, technically, Ryan should be next in line to inherit the podcast, my
Nah,
strong
I'm lazy.
podcast son.
I'm lazy.
Yes, on well, yeah, learning curve, and we're on the planet of archaeology where Daniel Jackson is assisting children doing things towards.
Wow, that don't say it like that.
I'm sorry, what child labor's not heard of in on this planet?
I mean, they do literally say there's no such thing as child labor laws here because they're not children, they're apprentices or something.
Apprentices,
Yeah,
yes.
it's the oldest one in the book. Oh, I'm not breaching your contract. You're an apprentice.
They
You're
still
a
use that to
freak.
this day, yeah.
Yeah, you're a corporate volunteer. You're on a 0 hours contract. It's great to see that the Conservative Party has escaped out into the wider universe. I'm sure they're doing what? Oh.
You are drones that have been programmed to do tasks. Is this not the place for that? Probably not.
no, they're children.
They are children.
all right, I'll pet you, you fucking impatient little shit.
That's the cat, by the way.
Ah, special guest Dom the Cat has arrived on the podcast, everybody.
Yeah, he's just lying in front of, he's sitting in front of me, blocking my script, so I'm just scratching him. Trying to distract him. Yeah, these guys are descended from the Aztecs, which...
Hope, sweetie, a podcast is not the right place to be scratching your cat.
All right. Okay, I'm leaving. I'm going to go and scratch my cat elsewhere. Come on, Storm. Nope, he does not want to move. So yeah, we are doing an exchange, a cultural exchange. Tilk is sharing his knowledge of the Gould and how to be fucking Kratos from God of War. And in exchange, they're giving us a Naquadah reactor and a small child. Sorry. The apprentice trained in the construction and maintenance of the Naquadah reactor.
Who has been trained 12. Probably from birth because of her age.
And the only apprentice.
Yes.
What if she quits?
Oh, she's not allowed to quit.
Oh, she's not allowed to quit, sweetie. This is her life, yeah, whether she likes it or not.
You want to quit? You're quitting my cold tent.
Bang.
We're also going to ignore the fact that Jack is in a room full of children that are learning with a gun on him.
I mean, that's just like military standards, you know? Don't get off the fucking thing. Do not say on my notes. Yeah, that's just like the military standards, you know? It's not like a kid could take Jack O'Neill's gun and shoot himself. Oh, wait. Oh. That already happened.
Hang on, wait. I see history repeating itself here.
And the Jack O'Neill Award for Gun Safety goes to Jack O'Neill again.
What, two-time winner? Well,
many-time winner.
Well, yes. Yeah. But two-time when it comes to children.
That's the double bar.
All right, Ryan, you've killed me.
Sorry.
So, Carter's like, so these people have accomplished in decades what we did in centuries. Damn, Skippy, will we ever see them again? No.
Yeah, we mentioned at some point, but we'll never see him again.
No, the Naquadah reactor will be mentioned a lot, but not much else.
Ah, the MacGuffin. The only part of the story to be mentioned.
Yeah.
We've already had a MacGuffin that was a child, and they haven't been mentioned since.
Yes. Yeah, just Cassandra for now. They don't have time for a tour. They don't know what teaching is. And, well, the thing, I mean, teaching is when a hot German woman with a pointer said, no.
No.
No, that's something else.
Time and place. Time and place.
Now, listen, my internet history might be weird, but, like, you don't just bring it up on stream. On recording.
Join us for our After Dark podcast where we talk about German teachers with pointy sticks.
With pointy sticks, that wearing incredibly tight outfits with large, generous busts. Right.
Carrying on.
That's enough about the Raiden Shogun.
Nah, she's not big enough.
So they are keeping the 11-year-old on a military base.
Keeping the 11, oh Jesus, that phrase.
Yeah, this is half the laughs I'm going to be able to get out of this is by like phrasing things badly. It's not like talking through the episode. So yeah, they're going to keep the 11-year-old around, and she is going to be in charge of teaching them because, well, they don't understand traditional teaching for some reason. Is this important? Probably not.
I mean, to be fair, why wouldn't, like, alien humanoid, like, understand our traditional teaching?
I mean, in theory, the idea is there would always be some... The idea of, like, the concept of passing on knowledge should still be similar culture to culture, unless, of course, as we will find out later, there's been such a drastic jump. in styles.
Mm.
Considering how long, I mean, we are aware of stuff from the oral tradition, which goes back at least 10,000 plus years. So, like, the traditional teaching works to a degree.
But that's the teaching on our planet. They don't know traditional teaching. They never learned that.
I mean, their ancestors would have, but they have evolved beyond the need for hot women with big tits and a pointer, yes.
They have evolved beyond the need to be so inefficient, is what they've done.
Ah, yes. We're all about efficiency around here.
Those German teachers are too inefficient. Let's get rid of them.
Man, I wish no Germany was real.
Though. Oh, God. If Germany was real, things would be different for us all.
Indeed.
Better, I think.
So anyway, they're showing Daniel around and someone just put a pyramid in downtown Detroit. Looks like you can have shit in Detroit after all.
I despise that you say that because now it's just like, yeah, no, that looks like Detroit. And then again, you could put any screenshot up and it'd be like, yeah, that's Detroit.
No one knows
what Detroit looks like.
I mean, show me a building that's damaged and a tire on the road. And
someone's been hooning. There's a car on fire.
And that's just a typical Tuesday. That's before any riots go through the streets.
Were you there when it was either Tamo or May was in stream and were telling us a story about the time they went on a school trip to Detroit? And they'd been there for an hour and they'd seen three ambulances and two body bags.
That's almost akin to where I live. Granted, we're not as bad as Detroit, but we are getting there.
Yay! The Northern Powerhouse is back at it again, competing with the Americans for street crime.
We're not even competing. It's just passive at this point. But yes, anyway.
Yeah, they've not gone pro yet.
No. Still at the amateur phase. Still getting there.
Mm. Anyway. Yeah, so after being shown the pyramid, the streets of Detroit, and kept away from the nastier areas, the leader brings this child out and is like, here, talk to Teal'c. He is my child. He is an apprentice. Teal'c, tell him everything. And this is the most creepy child you've ever seen. Like, I am a robot. I am a child.
Buzz cut with freckles makes him look like a kid, but he's got such a Thousand Island just stare, and it's like there is nothing behind those eyes.
Basically, yeah. So, also, Daniel's like, hey, where's my buddy? Where's my assistant? Oh, he's graduated.
Graduated, you say?
Oh. No. It's... Did he... graduate? Yes, that's a good approximation of what it is.
Ah, yes, they lobotomized him, I see.
Can I see?
Oh. No.
No.
A graduation located entirely inside your kitchen? May I see it?
Yes. No. And you just hear like a fucking whirring drill in the background. And...
Oh, just an industrial drill, just...
Oh, is that a dentist back there? Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm, yeah. So these drills don't go up in your teeth, they go into your ears. Wait, what?
Oh, and in your teeth. We just do that part.
And in your teeth.
Maniacs.
Ah, I've seen enough Doctor Who to understand where this is going. Hello, Cyberman.
We are the Cybermen.
No. You are better than Daleks in one way. Die! I can't do a Dalek voice.
You are better than Daleks in one way. Dying.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's the best I can do.
It's fine. It'll do. Okay, so it's public health checkup time. Dr. Fraser is taking this kid's blood while we find out all about how her people do not have the concept of aging, getting smarter with age, what school is, and I mean,
fun.
Yeah, what is fun? Though, to be fair, school exists to give you the skills that businesses have leaned on the government to ensure you will enter the workforce with them. Like, the history and the relationship between of the curriculum between business and the government is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, it's fascinating as much as it is terrible.
Yeah. It's terrifying. Ah, yes, we're going to push for you to do science and maybe a bit of history, math, English, all important. Oh, you want to be an artist? No. You can't be doing that. We don't need that from you. We just need maths.
Yeah, sorry, you can't make much money being an artist, but I can. No.
No.
No, stop drawing the furry porn. No.
No, stop trying big tits.
Basically, constantly make it like influence like the entire country by telling people that the starving artist thing is a thing, so therefore no one thinks they can make money being an artist.
Shit, quick. AI-generated art, go. Make them all unemployed.
Stop drawing big tits and become Elon Musk clone 621.
Oh, God.
Is that not what they're going for?
No, well, they don't want you to be an Elon Musk clone. They want you to be actually productive.
Yeah, unlike Elon, they need to actually do something.
Yeah.
Please actually make something.
Please don't just buy everything and then claim you made it afterwards, please.
Would I invented Tesla using naught but the money from my father's emerald mine that he inherited for some black people he stole it from? Don't worry about that. Wait a minute.
Elon Musk is going to use Neuralink to lobotomize people and steal their brain.
Oh, fuck. Did we not send you the thing?
But he'll never use it on himself.
The first Neuralink patient who tries to control his computer mouth was his brain, but is instead getting subliminal messaging to go to a union event with a gun.
Oh, no.
It wouldn't be a gun, it would be of a Cybertruck.
I will run them all over in my cyber... Oh, why is it broken down? Oh, it's rusted.
Oh, wait.
The underside is literally just falling apart.
Fuck.
Curse the liberals.
Do you remember that? Oh, fuck. I think the Cybertruck's worse than that Suzuki from the 70s that literally you can't find anymore because it's rusted away. Was this Suzuki? Yeah, there was a car in the 70s.
What do you mean? There was a car that was like so bad, literally all of its parts have just disappeared.
Yes. I think it was the Subaru Justy or something.
You know, that car must be such an enigma. I've never heard of it before.
It's one of those footnotes in the annals of car history, and because Hope is a fucking car nerd, and I somewhat am a car nerd, I know about it.
You know, people actually tried getting me to be a car nerd, and I said no, so I am completely oblivious to these facts, and I'm going to
I'm a recovering car nerd.
Yes, you're a recovering car enthusiast, I see.
I used to watch way too much like car shows and look up car information on the internet, and then I stopped doing it.
This was on an episode of Kill James Bond, so I think it was the Subaru Justy.
Ryan goes to the AA these days. Alcoholics Anonymous, no the other one.
No, but I don't go to the AAA. I don't go there anymore. Hey, I can make people laugh. I'm worth something. Anyway.
It's fine.
Oh man. But yeah, so what Stargate? Yeah.
Yeah, Stargate. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about that one.
I was going to talk about my new car.
Where did you get to? Oh, yes, your new
my new car, yes. My new car that's weirdly French in the way that it doesn't like to show me percentages.
And it gives up any sign of conflict as well.
Yeah, basically. The child doesn't understand fun, and we learn about the fact that Tilk has the Sword of Damocles hanging over him because he has a ghoul in his chest, right?
Yes.
But if he leaves it in there, it will grow and then take a host, because that's what the bastard thing does. But also, if he gets rid of it, it will kill him. Because he has no immune system, as we have previously seen when what happened to Jack and everyone else.
Yep. And if it dies, he dies.
Yeah.
And of course, the creepy child that's listening to this suddenly has a look of, oh, I see, on him.
Definitely not planning something horrifying.
No, nothing bad is going to happen at all. So the suspicious child runs off to...
The suspicious child.
The suspicious child runs off to his dad.
Yeah, who is...
And asks to graduate.
Yes. Meanwhile, Dr. Jackson is nerding about history, and he's like, yes, yes, listen, I need my son to graduate. Talk to this other child. Like, they just seem to be producing children out of thin air to be like...
Yeah, no, they don't cover that one, actually. They
I mean, in my opinion, they're basically just storing them in cryosleep, and, like, when one gets graduated... Another one, Jesus Christ. It's like when a VTuber graduates. Well, one gets graduated.
Another one appears. Yeah, when Kiryu Koko graduates, she becomes whoever the fuck she became.
K-san. Why do I know that?
Because I don't pay attention to massive VTubers. I mostly just stay in my tiny corner.
So yeah, our friend graduated, you know, Yuki. Who took her position?
No, and she left a massive hole in our hearts and a vacant spot in the polycule.
The polycule she was never a part of.
The polycule she was going to be invited to, yes.
Yes.
All right, stop talking about the polycule on fucking podcast. God,
but also, it's never actually mentioned anywhere how the kids become part of the, what is it called? The Uron?
Yeah, it is mentioned.
But it is mentioned that, you know, kids do exist, so they might just nab a kid from the street and go, you're lucky to be part of this.
Nah, it's mentioned. He does mention it.
Oh.
He mentions that when my son, that I knew when the lottery came up, there was a chance it would be my son, and I was so happy when he was chosen because I knew he would be great.
And you, oh yeah, he, would,
have
he
a, like, a lottery.
Would do great things for the,
yeah,
for his people, regardless.
Do we want to explain the kid's deal now?
Yeah, go on. Just
to get out of the way. Yeah. So, this planet's deal is everyone has nanobots inside them, which, they're not just for Christmas.
Yeah.
And what happens is some kids are like, okay, you are going to learn everything about Thing X, and then we're going to take your nanobots out and give them to everyone else.
And what happens to the world when their nanobots get taken out?
Don't worry about it.
What do you mean, don't worry about it?
We take care of them.
You're going to learn this one subject and everything that has to do with it. And as soon as you've done your part, we're going to take your knowledge and give it to everybody else.
That sounds amazing. What do I get the other knowledge for everyone else once I'm done? No.
You get to me.
Don't worry about it.
Your prize is ego death. Yay!
Your prize is joining the vegetable patch. Enjoy.
Do you want to be a cabbage or a cauliflower? Pick now. Right.
I want to be carrot. Carrot top.
I want to be a Swede. Wait.
No, you don't want to be a Swede. They're weird.
What if a Swedish woman was Italian?
I suppose now would be the question that I was going to ask earlier. And it's a pretty simple one. Did they never once think, oh, maybe we could save a nanite spare and give it back to the child?
The children can't re-accept nanites or something.
I know, but they could just leave one behind.
I don't know. Why don't they do some weird thing where they learn use someone to learn all the nanites about how nanites work and then make better nanites?
Shut up.
They explain putting the nanites in before neural links are established.
Oh, right. It's like brain plasticity and shit.
Yeah, because they need to add more synapses. But then they're like...
I think, honestly, the way these nanites probably work is they literally infest the brain.
Yes.
And the only way to get them out is to literally take the brain out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I took from it anyway.
You just scoop that brain out with just like a giant ice cream scoop.
Just an ice cream scoop, just Animal X style, let's go.
I ate his brain with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
That actually makes more sense now, Ryan. But yeah, it's like...
Oh, this is like my headcanon. This isn't like really specified. This is me...
I know, nothing is specified.
This is me trying to like enjoy it more.
But they say they can only put the nanites in before the nervous system the neurons have all properly been established.
What I think is it basically integrates into the developing brain, so the only way to get it out is to literally take out the brain.
I know, but what about everyone else who hasn't been given those millions of nanites?
They've got small nanite.
It doesn't work because their brains formed, is what I took from that.
I know, but they're adding these nanites to.
Yeah, they're not adding the same amount of nanites. They're adding different kinds of nanites. Yeah.
Why not just leave the kid with some nanites?
Because we need to get everything out of them. We need to get. Look, let me just go get the ice cream scoop, okay? It'll be fine. Like, let me just.
Okay.
Anyway, go. And then just like they start dumping it into people's open heads. Like, just. You know, like a little scoop where you press the button and it comes out?
Yeah. No, like, they don't scoop. They just put a vacuum tube up the nose and turn it on.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was just imagining the vacuum cleaner from Teletubbies just sucking people's brains out.
Oh, fucking Lulu coming along.
Remember, the Tubby Custard is pink.
Tubby Custard is people!
I think there's actually a headcanon around somewhere that Teletubbies are Tubby Custard is in fact people.
Probably. There's always a headcanon about something like for children.
I'm making the episode of Tubby Custard, okay? Seriously? Yes!
We've peaked, by the way.
I think we've peaked.
Also, I want to let you know that my notes have at least twice mentioning Nanomachine's son.
Understandable.
I have been not saying that at any point for reasons such as fucking hell, that joke is done to death. And
yeah, that's why I did Nanobots on just Christmas instead.
Oh my god.
I have
Nanobots on just for Christmas. Nanobots are for just 11 years of your life, and then they're never for you again. Anyway.
God, they are, yeah. Oh. I guess in this case, Nanobots are just for Christmas. Alright. Moving on. With the help, tits. Carter, so we're back at base. Fraser is missing her girlfriend's like, come on, Carter, get away from the device. Stop staring at the device. Stop hanging with the child. I require wife time.
Stop hanging around the bog cube. It will assimilate you.
Okay, can we talk about how Naquadur's stuff just looks very borgy?
As soon as I saw it, I went, oh no.
It's been like, every time you see anything Naquadur related, I feel it's borg.
It does, especially a lot of the early stuff. The finished Earth Naquadur generator doesn't.
But then again, it doesn't have its casing on.
Yeah,
the casing makes it
Borg-like. Yeah, the original one looks very Borg, very fuck. What's that really cool metal? Gallium? Not gallium. You know the one.
Mercury.
Bismuth.
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 Looks
bismuth. Rainbow cubes and whatnot.
Yeah, with the
funky. Yeah, I know that ship from that fucking anime. Yeah, Bismuth. Yeah.
Sure.
Bismarck. Yeah, the ship from the anime.
Yeah, Bismarck, yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Yeah. So, not the most romantic subject to talk about, though. Oh, hey, girlfriend, look, this child, she's got minerals in her blood. She's got nanites, which...
She's got nanomachines, so... No.
Nope. Which, I mean... Considering what happened the last time they ran into nanomachines and we got Jack O'Neill in some horrible old man makeup.
Oh my god, and then we also got Jack O'Neill unknowingly diddles a kid.
Like, oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, Jack O'Neill sleeps with a 3-day-old woman or something.
Yes.
I wasn't here for that episode.
Okay, real brief description before this gets, like, confusing.
Yeah.
There's a planet where some Gord has done a technology that massively quickly ages people, and their lifespan is like 6 days.
Eight, nine days.
They go there not knowing this, and Jack like meets a woman who looks like she's like, you know, 30.
Yeah.
Because the actress is 30. And they get, you know, whatever, and then way later on she's like, oh yeah, no, I'm 3 days old. It's like, oh,
well, I guess then by their standards, they are of age. But let's not get into that. Let's not get into that logic.
The barge pole.
No. I kept telling people to stop talking about it in that episode. And
yeah. We're going to stop talking about it now. Yeah. We can actually put this live. Put this on the air in public.
Good news, though. This time, it's not a Gould plot. It might have once been a Gould thing, maybe, but... Well, no. Now these nanomachines are not used to allow senators to fight twinks. They're used for learning. And for the purpose... And then they're taken out, so everyone learns things. These seem perfectly legitimate and fine.
Oh, yeah, it's putting nanites into a child, making them learn one thing, and then brain scooping them for the advantage of everyone else.
She's not... Yeah, but she's not going to admit to the brain scoop. All the tubby custard.
I love how these people are like... I always love how this keeps happening in Stargate. These people have something they do that to them is just completely normal, but like, and they see nothing wrong with it, and they will definitely, once, you know, the big reveal has happened, tell the Stargate crew about it as if it's completely normal, but will fucking and like dodge around the subject before the reveal. And it's like, you don't think this is weird? You would tell them easily. So why do you spend 30 minutes umming and ahhing like it's some big secret only to go, oh yeah, we do that before you knew?
Drama. What? Plot. Is this not how you do things on your world?
Just for once, start the episode off with them telling them they do this and have the whole episode be about it rather than just like slowly realizing it happens.
I think, like, right?
Fuck's sake.
It's dumb. It's definitely a quirk of bad TV writing. And I think it's the problem we've got is that the show can only, especially since this is a 90s show, the show can only ever approach this with a, we're from Earth, we think that is fucked up. The audience is from Earth. They will think it's fucked up. Therefore, it is fucked up and we must change these people because we are the good American people who do things the right and proper way.
And yet the targeted demographic, aka us, don't think that way.
We're not the target demographic, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not.
We are not. The target demographic for this show is join the US Air Force. You are a teenager.
Okay, yes, and then everyone has O'Neill brain where they don't understand what's going on and they refuse to understand.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We're not the demographic, which is sort of, again, the point of this show is how do we, modern, queer, Ryan excluded from that last bit, leftist...
I'm modern.
Yeah. How do modern people... see this show and see its politics has always been like our philosophy in a show which is outright military propaganda half the time. And you should join the US military and go to space and get killed randomly in an episode as a member of SG-55. Which...
So what you're telling me is Stargate is what Helldivers would have been on a budget.
Oh, God. I love the amount of people who are like, oh, why doesn't Helldivers have, like, more futuristic weapons? Because they don't care about the people they're sending in.
Yeah.
Give them the cheap guns and the bullets that are easy to mass produce.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's played through the tutorial would pick that up on. Would pick up on, like, damn, fine, recruit. I haven't seen shooting that good since myself. That's play to everyone, isn't it? Yep. It's blatantly obvious.
Oh, these are all automated, all pre-recorded messages. Good to know.
Yeah. Exactly. So, anyway, the science child can't draw. I actually did not learn her name until right at the end. I'm sure it was
Marin.
Marin, yeah, Marin. I did not pick up on her name till the end. I was calling her Science Child.
Science Child also works because I spent a long time trying to remember a name and just mispronounced it a lot and misspelt it.
So yeah, she can't draw, so she can't sketch a schematic. And Carter's like, hey, look, drawing's easy. And she's right, you know? everyone starts with stick figures, and now and then you start making people into marketable squish orbs, and you then you start drawing porn and making money, you know? It's like
everyone's... circle of life.
It's circle of squish orb.
But can we also just take into account that she doesn't know how to draw? She sees a stick figure from Bloody Carter, and then she's drawing high detail cross sections.
I mean, I guess like she's able to pick up on the idea. Okay, right, I just need to represent it, but this is the most detailed schematic ever. Which
nah, bollocks. I don't care.
I think the real question is, why is the sinister music playing when Carter gets the big paper? So when she reaches up to grab the big sheaf, it's playing the do-do-do, the low sinister shit. Like, what? What is with that? I hate you. That's just put dom de de dom de 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 dom.
I that was not my intention at all.
You're right. Yeah, sorry. I just went back to that bit of the video, and it is sinister music that's playing.
Why?
Why?
It's like when they're playing, they're like dead and dead, and when they're on like a ghoul ship, but not quite.
I've just realized what I've just tasked this child to do. Well, oh my god, I'm a monster.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, the drawing goes on for so long. Carter passes out, and Meryn runs out of paper and is carrying on the desk and the floor and Sam.
And the walls and the ceiling.
Oh god, that's her own blood she's using on the walls. Oh fuck. If she's not careful, she'll summon GB.
I, for a second, thought we were in a not in a Discord call, but I was just suddenly expecting GB to just appear. I don't know why.
Well, but just oi, and then just, that's
oy,
it.
Oi, and you're gone.
Oi, kneecaps.
Now, leave. I wouldn't be sleeping tonight if that was the case.
What kind of children don't need sleep or fun? Clearly, they're robots.
Clearly, they're robots. No,
clearly, they're robots.
No emotions, no thoughts, just logic.
Nothing. I mean, I've seen murder drones, and I've seen there that the robots do all that. Like, I've seen plenty of things where robots have developed thoughts and feelings. Like, yeah. That's the most common trope in existence.
No, robot.
Hey, Uzi, how do you feel about this door?
Robot. sorry, what?
Dude, that joke was admittedly targeted at Blaze, who was temporarily vanished.
I'm here. I'm just chuckling to myself.
But yeah.
Congratulations. Well done.
Yeah. Well done. So back on the planet, Teal'c has impeccable shit is happening vibes because a new child has been delivered to him. Oh, he's getting that Jeffrey Epstein premium service of the new child delivery. I'm sorry, I just thought of that one on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Reset the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So, Teal'c puts his foot down and is like, no, show me the other child. I wish to see the child that was I was hanging out with earlier. And we get to the shocking reveal. The Avarium is the kids that graduate undergo the Avarium. The Avarium is the removal of their nanomachines by scooping their brain out with a big ice cream spoon.
That's right. The Avarium is literally the special name for the scoop.
Yes, so we have the Avarium, and then we have the Avarium custard.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
Yep, saw that one. Yep.
Yep.
oh no. I'm just.
It's fine.
I'm just imagining just the kid there, just with this vacuum up in the nose, it being sucked out, going through all the pipes and whatnot of an alchemist set. Separating the nanites into the injections and then the brain goop into a delicious bowl of pink custard.
You're putting too much thought into this.
This is how my brain works.
I know, I saw how your brain works the other day.
creative imagination is both a blessing and a curse.
Mm. So yeah, the Avarium is basically just, hey, we've subjected this child to ego death, and now everyone else is smart, which... Hey! This is fine! This is fine.
The need of the many outweighs the need of the few by taking the need of the few's faults away from them.
Right, yeah, but how many were the few?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
They were the few, so they were less than the many, and, you know...
Marginal in amongst the many, so who cares?
Yeah, listen, they can't take new nanites, so we just look after them. They're happy. We have this giant cat tree and these toys that they play with, these blocks.
Look, we need new cast for the Cabbage Patch Kids when we took it.
Wouldn't
to the
it be more humane to just fucking murder them?
They're still alive. You've just...
Honestly, though, wouldn't it?
It doesn't... I think that's meant to try... It's kind of a weird one because this goes into your existences of identity because the body is still alive and the mind is still alive. So it's clearly possible for new personas and new personalities to exist and form, especially if we were to... I need to bring a plural person on to properly explore this topic in detail, but I think technically from this, it's sort of how our society is with the mentally handicapped. Like, we look after them, we do what we can to live, let them live their best life. Whereas in this case, these kids could probably... No, we fucking fail them as a society because the Tories are cunts and all the social services have been cut to the bone. But we should. And it's what any just and right human society would do.
It's like, oh yeah, it's like what we do. Do we?
No. Yeah, let me rephrase it. What we should be doing in an ideal, in a world that's not run by horrible cunts that are trying to get people like that killed on purpose through deliberate neglect that they can pass off as accidental. It makes me angry considering, like, it happens too much to just too many people.
I don't think they were probably thinking about that when they were writing this episode.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't thinking about much when they were writing this episode, let's be real.
Again, the DSM-5, at this point, the DSM-3.5 still defined being gay and transgender as mental illnesses, so they didn't have the best foundation to work from in the first place. But yeah, so Jack... who was also found out about the Avarium at this point, is pretty damn pissed about this. You know, man whose child killed himself. And because of this, Jack is dead set on being an Earth cultural representative, intent on exporting the love your children unconditionally. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
What? What's that?
We've been over the... I mean, I'm sure... we went over this a few episodes ago, the whole... Do people on your planet not love their children unconditionally? Oh. I'm sure that was a recent episode where we went over that.
Yeah, it was something like... Yeah, I remember. The answer was, fuck no.
No! Now it's... Yeah, no. Love is very conditional. Oh, you're transgender? Get out. You're gay? Get out. You failed at maths? Get out. You take drugs? Get out.
I mean, I'm very lucky with my family, and I think pretty so far, anyway, everything's good.
You don't fit our very strict, specific mold, get out.
Yeah. I, too, have been very lucky with an understanding and wonderful family, but I'm fully aware that there are a lot of people who aren't as well off as me.
I still get misgendered quite regularly by my mother, so, you know.
Oh.
She's trying, but it wasn't so easy at the start, but I'm not going to get into that. Anyway.
I'll hug you when I next see you.
But yeah, this episode of Stargate.
Can I also ask a question regarding this episode of Stargate?
Sure.
Sure.
So we already know Daniel is a B-plot anyway, but What is his purpose there? What is he trying to learn with the markings around the console? Because he's sort of following it, but nothing's he's explained.
He's trying to. It is explained. He's trying to figure out where they like came from in terms of human like civilization.
Yeah, that's what the rant he goes off on about earlier about.
All right, so that's regarding the civilization that.
Yeah, like he's... where they came from, like what civilization were they plucked from in history? Yeah.
So he's just literally the archaeologist.
Yeah, he's just doing his actual job.
He's just archaeology today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniel is on archaeology. Tilk is in barely appearing in this episode. Sam is on science, and Jack is on Earth's number one cultural exporter, which man should have stuck to exporting democracy the Helldivers way. With a gun.
With a gun?
But yeah, the Albanians...
Child, he's just kidnapped.
Yeah. The Albanians aren't a fan of the whole... We don't like your culture, so we're going to disrespect it. And they've issued an ultimatum. You have 48 hours to give Meryn back. And...
We will kill her as soon as you do.
Yep.
We will kill her mentally as soon as she's here with us. And she'll never have no say in it because she's been forced to believe that this is the only way.
Which...
I mean... Right. Forced to believe, or they all believe it, so therefore it's like...
I was going to say...
Like, at this point, there's we don't really have, like, an evil leader who is, you know, making them believe this.
The indoctrination is so deep now.
It's so deep that it's, like...
tradition.
It's a cultural tradition potentially inspired by non-Judeo-Christian values. We don't know what inspired it, but... I will say that your point is correct, that in theory this belief is self-reinforcing, because if the kids believe
it... I'm not saying it's not wrong. I'm saying the entire culture has been raised to believe it.
If you
suddenly say it's wrong... I'm just saying, like, clarifying. If you suddenly say it's wrong, well, on whose moral grounds is it?
Yeah, no. Exactly. I was agreeing with you and adding an extra point to what you said.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that I was clarified before. That's all.
Yeah. The fact is, like, if the kids are raised believing it, right, then when they get brains scooped into the tubby custard, those ideas are going to be in their nano machines.
I hate that.
So everyone is going to, like, it's going to be a self-reinforcing loop.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get those beliefs from every kid's nano machine sort of thing. And again, these guys are Mesoamerican, which means pre-Spanish, pre-colonial, so they have their own completely different set of...
Now, can I just say, I know that people can change how they look over time, but Mesoamericans and the most little pretty white girl...
I know.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, like innocent child. Really?
Oh my god, I fucking hate you. The racism meter on this episode just shot through the ceiling. I didn't even think about that.
Did you not realize that? Like, everyone there is white.
I did.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, perfect teeth.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, to make the common American household feel extra sorry for them, they're all white.
You literally have, like, the perfect, like, innocent little child.
Yeah. Yeah, the planet clearly has a lot of sun. They should definitely be.
It literally shows Mesoamerican culture. I mean, the planet looks like it's predominantly it looks like it could be in the middle of the equator in terms of, like, how the sun looks and all that.
Mm.
But everyone is like, somehow the people living on this planet have changed their skin tone over the years to be worse for their environment.
They've become so white, Starbucks are just popping out of the ground fully formed.
Oh yeah, Starbucks do grow trees.
But yeah, this isn't Jesus Christ, how do I quantify this? This isn't racism in the sense of, like, doing this on purpose. This is racism in the sense of, this is just what we do to, like, people feel guilty about children. We just show them, like, you know, this.
Yeah, we show them an angelic white child.
They probably do it without even thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's intrinsic cultural racism on, like,
yeah.
Which the show keeps doing with Teal'c by accident.
By accident, because the writers want the alien to be like this, but the alien happens to be...
Black.
Christopher Judge.
Yeah,
Christopher Judge. Boy. Anyway.
Yeah. And so Merrin is talking. So back to the hostage situation on Earth, because Jack has just declared a hostage situation. It's like
Merrin. Yeah, so I don't think you get to call that, Jack. I'm gonna be honest.
Anyway,
like, it doesn't feel quite like your place.
Oh, I'm outranking General Hammond for this episode because he is not based. When General Hammond is not based, I, Jack O'Neill, outrank him.
When he is not based, I am the general here.
When he takes that Texan hat off, he is not based.
No, when he puts the Texan hat on.
Every time he's in the YouTube video, he has a hat on now.
I've noticed.
Yeah, so Carter is trying to talk Merrin out of it. And it's like, listen, good shit happens at 15. What interesting things happen?
Good shit?
15, Carter. Oh, God.
Like, the only thing, this is another thing that's weird. The only thing they can think about to say that the reason she shouldn't basically commit ego death is because she can have sex. It's like,
yeah.
What? What?
Not only is it a fucked thing to say to a child, not only is it awkward to explain to a child, it's also like, no? Like, there's so many cool things you get to do as an adult, and so many shit things you get to do as an adult. Yay!
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's the 90s. That's all you can think of.
Yeah, I get to drive my boss's Hyundai Sonata and crash it into a fence.
There are two things you could do as an adult. Sex and drugs. And
yeah. That's it. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and car crashes. The four things every adult gets to do is their right. Well, you never know. She could turn 25, rent a boat, take it down to international waters, and host monkey fighting.
I mean, that would be more interesting.
It would. Callbacks. So...
Oh, Furious Joe, what do they do to your beautiful face?
It's at this point where I'm completely lost at what's going on.
Simpsons reference at that point.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Simpsons reference, and also it was a joke back when you and me used to work together that when you turn 25, the only cool thing you can do is rent a boat.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, Jesus.
It was.
We're past that point. We need to rent a boat. Right, moving on.
So yeah, Carter uses maths and head magic to reverse the polarity of the neutron flowed. Because we had to have that line to get the reactor working. And and Merrin's like, what is the satisfaction you gain in working things out? Wasn't it more fun to be shown the answer? No!
No, because learning is fun.
Is it, though?
Is it really?
I mean, it depends on what you're learning.
If I'm learning about the ancient history, as I am a white male, if I'm learning about ancient Rome, it's fun. If I'm learning about...
Look, I'm being taught by Carter and a child on how to make a nuclear reactor that is completely unprotected by any shielding, and when they set it off, causes a localized, well, best like EMP.
Could you imagine they accidentally give the child cancer? Sorry.
EMP detonated. Local child diagnosed with 5 new types of cancer.
Emp. What's an emp?
Local child is in brain scooped and has no idea she is now riddled with cancer.
This is fine. But yeah, unbased Hammond is here because he says no. Jack, you may not kidnap this child. Jack, you may Jack, no, you must respect these people's traditions, give her back to them, and you may not get in trouble. And
what if I say no?
Then I will stare at you and I will threaten you with this piece of brisket that I'm stroking slowly.
I mean, it looks like good brisket. Can I have some? No, only if you agree to give back the child. Then you can have the brisket.
I can give you the good brisket, or I can give you the shit that killed Kennedy.
I can... Alright!
That was Left field? Okay.
It's a running joke that General Hammond killed Kennedy with a brisket.
I honestly kind of forgot.
Anyway, yeah. So then they set off the localized amp. Jack takes the chance to just, excuse me, this child. I'm just going to borrow the child. Good, good.
Yes, this child. I'm going to take leave and take this child with me to school.
Yeah. While he makes his way to an exit, whilst Carter is being told off by General Hammond, brackets her dad, because it feels so fatherly.
I mean, it's more fatherly than Carter's dad ever fucking was.
Ooh.
The next time you're going to set off a reactor in the base, do let us know first, please.
Hey, where's the kid? Oh, Jack took it.
Child? What do you mean, Jack took it? Where? Ow.
Out to play catch, obviously.
Yeah.
Better father figure than you are.
And we remember, we get a strong reminder that we are in the 1990s, because this American school has no CCTV, no metal detectors, a random guy can just walk up to the gate and be like, hey kids, how's things? Play with my friend, play with this other small child I've brought along.
I found this small child on the streets, go play with her.
Just a random fucking old man brings a child to a school and says, I found her, go play.
Oh god.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly. No. That would not fly.
Listen, yeah, we're long past the era of Tokyo Godfathers.
Not once has it ever explained why Jack is known by all of the kids at the school, or the teacher.
I think it is explained that this was the school Charlie was attending, I believe.
Mm.
And
see, well, Jack just shows up, but the teacher just goes, oh my god, he's having a fucking moment again. Shit, okay, no, look, Charlie's not here anymore, Jack. Charlie's gone now, okay?
Charlie's gone, stop bringing every man, wow, that's a man, I found this child. Boy and girl on the street to the school.
I found this child, her name's Charlie. Jack?
Jack, have you got your gun with you again?
I always have
No.
I work in the army, Jack. You quit the army.
No, I don't. I go to other planets now. I fight aliens. I'm a hero.
Like as far as they're aware, Jack quit the Air Force.
He did, and then he got reconscripted at the start of the season.
Yeah. I just rather have it be no one in his personal life knows that, so he's just suddenly walking around talking about aliens and carrying a gun. He's like, Jack?
Oh, I need the Ancient Aliens guy, but it's Jack O'Neill.
No, Jack O'Neill is just the fucking progenitor of InfoWars at this point. It's just fucking like...
breaking news, Jack O'Neill sued for everything he's got by Sandy Hook family.
Who's Sandy Hook at this point? I don't know. You got sued by him, though.
Jack O'Neill sued by school crushed by Ghoul Death Glider.
The glider said this is all Jack's fault as it fell.
But yeah.
Oh man.
Okay, can I just say one thing? I'm so happy Alex Jones is just crumbling to pieces right now.
It's so good. Funny. And the fact that, like, it's fucking hilarious that his lawyer just, like, hey, here's all the evidence, including all of the incriminating evidence. Let me just send it to my opponent.
Oh shit, I wasn't gonna do that.
Like, please take. And he did it. Oh, it's so good.
Can you give it back, please?
No.
No.
It's same with Trump. Hopefully that, like, the money he owes is only going to keep going up.
Yeah, but he's never going to pay it.
He's not going to win on it. He's not going to win his appeal, so...
Yeah, he's going to leave. He's going to fucking leave the country before he pays it.
Then they'll probably strip Trump Tower and everything.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just saying, he ain't paying it.
He's going to try. He'll try. But... as we learned about when learning about the Cuban embargo, the reach of American financial institutions is massive.
Yeah, you can piss off the fucking FBI, but if you piss off the IRS,
I may be crazy, but I would never fuck with the IRS. I can't do a Joker. That hurt.
There's a reason why I stopped doing growly voices now.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like second instinct to immediately do an impression. That's roughly in my throat.
I'm not even going to try a Joker voice.
I can't be bothered. Okay.
Anyway, because it's the 90s, the class sizes are small, so Jack could just enroll her for a day?
Yeah, again, this has to be a common occurrence at this point.
Oh, yeah, we have to take into account Jack's mental health. You know, he's still really struggling. Listen, Jack, come outside. We've got Ed Sheeran and Prince Harry here. They're here to check up on you. They're checking up on their chaps.
Oh, the fucking ginger bitches. Jesus.
Ed Sheeran's brought some Tingly Ted's hot sauce for you. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Oh my god. All right, have you actually seen that hot sauce? It's just ketchup.
I have actually had it. I quite like it.
Yeah, but it's not hot sauce.
No. It's like HP Fruity is what I would describe it as. It's HP Fruity sauce. And I actually quite like
are you,
it.
Are you describing Ed Sheeran or the hot sauce?
Listen, Blaze knows about my hot sauce habits.
Yes, she does in fact love her hot sauce.
Yes, I do. Including... But I'm just imagining like HP Fruity sauce is just Ed Sheeran.
Sure, you can Photoshop yourself Ed Sheeran's face.
I would never consider Ed Sheeran as fruity.
I don't know. I know nothing about the guy other than he's ginger. That's it. Mm. That's all I know.
How much I cannot. I still cannot remember how much Trendescorpion I put in that ragu when you came over. I'm gonna say a lot.
You should have put more in it.
I'm gonna say it wasn't quite as spicy as I was expecting. You said it was gonna be, but it was very warm.
There's something. How do I put this? If you actually make a really good sauce, viewers, listeners, even if you make a really good sauce, it doesn't actually get mega spicy if you add a shitload of peppers to it, because you know the sauce itself is gonna like nullify most of that. It just gives it a nice like homely warmth.
Yeah. Like, you'll feel it, but it's not going to destroy you like if you're eating, like, a Baldak four times, where it's just all spice.
Yes, it's like sticking your tongue directly onto a uranium rod that's red hot. Yeah, smart move.
Ah, uranium rod, you're my only friend. Jack, who has been allowed to sit in on the class, by the way, bullies the child into drawing a flower.
Like, no. Oi, kid, do this.
No, not that. You're drawing it wrong. You're meant to give her the big tits. Not the little ones.
It's a flower, Jack. Also, these are children. We should stop saying that.
I know. Yes,
Jack's idea of tough love. Bully a child into doing exactly what he wants her to do.
Bully a child until they're an amazing artist so you can make them draw all the porn you want. And that is fucked up.
Could we take one of these kids and teach them how to do amazing art and then spread that amongst everyone else?
We have sent this child to live among the furries. Okay, so Jack has to take the kid back, and as a present, Jack has raided the Marine Tuck Shop and given her some crayons, fresh.
Some prime fresh Crayola that only the best of the Titans will eat.
Exactly. What's your favorite flavor, Ryan?
Purple.
He knows the fate she's about to face, so yeah, giving her Crayolas to shove up her nose to fill the hole where the vacuum went is a good idea.
No, what she's going to do is she's going to open the pack of Crayolas at the right time and gum up the hose pipe so it can't suck her brain out. Just mash one into your own brain pads, like, oh my god, why is the tubby custard lime green? No!
Why isn't it working? The Crayol.
The Crayol.
So she goes away to die, and General Hammond becomes based again. I will not punish you because I recognize that you have PTSD due to your child die. I am based again. Would you like some brisket? This is the good shit.
Good brisket this time.
Yeah. So we take a little we cut like 3 days later, and Hammond's just like, hey, Jack, you should go see what's going on because it's the good shit's going down. And what do you know? The Obanans are buying your blue jeans and listening to your poppy music. America has achieved a cultural victory yet again. Because in one day, Jack was able to suffuse the joy of being a child into Meryn's memories, and it has now infested everyone via the nanites.
Which actually leads credence to the idea that they think the nanites are a good thing because of the fucking nanites.
Yeah, self-reinforcing yeah. idea, yeah. Honestly, you could almost consider them a memetic hazard.
Honestly, I don't, like, oh god, what's that? It's like, it feels like almost like a Doctor Who slash, like, thing, where, like, you've got, like, a alien race that burrows into people's brains, essentially.
Yeah.
And, like, fucking, like, makes them believe it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's nanites.
It's the fucking brain slugs from Futurama.
Well, it's almost like they're told these are good, so the nanites think that it's good. So the nanites themselves think it's good to have nanites. So then the nanites get passed on to someone else.
Yeah.
And then those nanites get reinforced. And those nanites get reinforced.
It's a self-referential self.
It wasn't, like, kind of passed off as, like, just, oh, it's just because. It could have been interesting.
Yeah, but we're not going to touch on that. We're not going to write interesting, thoughtful sci-fi.
And also, it would be very interesting if the nanites had come back in some way and were, like, you know, anyway.
Yeah. It's a self-reinforcing, self-perpetuating ideologram, and that's a really cool concept.
It's literally a fucking parasite.
Yeah.
But in the form of, like, a machine, which is interesting.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
No, we don't have time for that. Episode's ending.
I gotta say that considering that Marin's now...
Normal.
...offered over the joy of fun and learning to everyone else, did her nanites not also just...
Oh, she's dead.
Give everyone... No. Did her nanites also just give everyone the doubt of continuing on with the nanites?
Yes. And then that's going to keep... And basically, this isn't a... That is also an interesting thing, is this isn't a die-of-the-day thing. This is a... It's going to reinforce itself. Like the idea that the nanites being good is going to reinforce itself.
I mean, it's done in a day because...
I know, but it shouldn't have been.
Yeah. It should have been,
it
like...
It would have been a way more interesting concept to have them go, so is this going to work? I don't know, but it's a start. I mean, that could be the end of the episode. It would have been way more interesting.
Yeah, it would, but we're never seeing these people on planet again, even though Jack gets to see Meryn drawing, which... Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've touched on, like, the episode politics and, like, the themes of the episode throughout, but... Is there anything we want to redress or cover extra at the end?
Not really.
No, not really.
Yeah.
There isn't really too much. We actually ended up making this episode more interesting by... When I was watching it, I was having these thoughts, and I was like, and then it just didn't do any of that. Okay.
Yeah. Our speculating about the episode and its lack of being interesting made it more interesting. That the giant ice cream fucking spoon.
The giant ice cream spoon coming over with a vacuum attachment turning everyone's brains into tubby custard. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, basically. Basically.
See, when I first watched it, I thought, like, their intelligence was higher as a kid and then it'd start dumbing down the older they get. When the adult went, oh, I don't have that knowledge. I was like, oh, that it's a reverse intelligence sort of thing. But no, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been more interesting to follow, you know?
Stargate has this consistent problem where it pisses away its really good ideas constantly.
Stargate has a consistent problem of a writer comes up with an incredible idea and then they have to shove it into a 40-minute episode because that's not the season ender.
Yep. We have two slots for two-parters, and this,
like,
is
you very clearly have. Very clearly, the show has writers who are intelligent, or at the very least, competent at writing and have smart ideas, but they're stuck in a format where you need to have. Because remember, this is the era of TV where episodes had to be like a tight length, and you had to have a lot of them per season.
Yeah, one and done was very much the order of the day,
and. That really can help with some, you know, people going off the rails or Doctor Who, but it can also cause problems where you can't really formulate an idea properly.
No.
I say a lot of the issues would have been fixed if an episode was an hour long as opposed to 40 minutes, but you've got to have a tight schedule because you've also got to take into account the myriad and quite frankly absurd amount of out of adverts you've got to cram.
Especially on American TV.
There's also another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, a lot of the time when they increase a show to, like, say, an hour or that happened, it doesn't actually fix the myriad of issues.
No.
You just get more bloat per episode.
The Sherlock pilot, which Blaze was
like,
there for, but
a lot of the time, this is like, it's like a monkey's paw. A lot of the time when people are like, I wish this show had longer episodes, or I wish this show was on more, you don't actually want that. What you would want is to have, say, 5 more episodes a season. Same way, but 5 more.
Mm.
Now, it does sometimes work, you know, no doubt, but it doesn't always.
And something I've noticed that more modern shows do is if an episode doesn't quite reach its ultimate at the end, they do split it into 2 parts.
Yeah.
Which is...
Discovery, for example.
You really need to, like, split shows if you're going to, like, do something like this.
The problem is, again, if you have this high concept, you either need to commit to exploring your high concept or admit that you're not... or just accept that you're not going to do it justice. And I think that's at least something Stargate does a lot, is that it's very much a, look, we're not going to do it justice. We're going to leave it here. And we don't have time. Which I think is not good and could be a lot better, but there's not much really. As you said, they've got adverts. They've got a 60-minute break. It's, again, we're looking at another artifact of the era in which this TV show was produced.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
But that's been this episode of Stargate. What does it say about the US military? Other than that they are amazing and perfect and...
I will let you break the law. I will let you do a kidnapping. Because I am General Hammond.
I will let you do a kidnapping.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you do a kidnapping, because if you don't, you will face my brisket.
Yeah, kidnapping is based when you do it to export American cultural values onto...
Wait a minute. Jack. You're doing this kidnapping to export American values? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, that's fine, Jack.
Yeah.
You should have told me.
Exporting
you're doing this to, like, make a different culture, like, lower and ours better? You should have just said so, Jack. I'm Texan. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the episode unintentionally very much says. Cultural victory achieved much.
Just need the Civ banner to pop up. Yeah, this episode is weird because it's not... It doesn't really say too much about the military as it's saying Jack is a good man.
Jack is a traumatized man who has... issues because of the whole...
Well, it doesn't really say that. It's more just saying how cool Jack is.
Yes.
And honestly, this episode for me, I am weirded out by Carter's kind of reaction to a lot of the shit in this episode.
I think it's because Carter is off character because she's not really in the episode.
When she's in it, she doesn't seem to, like, clock that anything is wrong with the child. And in fact, it has, like, the whole child says she's smart. She goes, and I'm like, right, but something's clearly wrong with that kid.
Yeah, but it's not relevant to the plot. So why would she notice that?
Yep.
She needs to do the dumb.
It's because, yeah, the plot says Carter needs to do the dumb.
Carter and Jackson.
Yeah.
Are both they're in the background character, so they're just put down to their...
This is a Jack O'Neill episode.
They're their base traits. Jackson is the fucking archaeologist who somehow doesn't notice anything odd about what's going on around him.
Yep.
Teal'c is just an eyebrow this episode.
He is.
He is 90% eyebrow, yes.
And yeah, I think that's really the big issue.
It's the problem with an ensemble cast and then you make it a character episode. Is how I would phrase it.
Mm.
Like the smartest people who would have known what was going on were shoved into the background. It was not a good call.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I think that just about wraps it up. We've got another one to record. So,
oh goody!
Don't tell everyone we're double recording.
Yeah, we're doubling down. We're going back for sloppy seconds.
Sloppy. Sorry, I just sloppy.
Sloppy.
Yeah. You did this to yourself.
I'm surprised you don't have your soundboard available and ready today.
I didn't set it up, I'll be honest. I didn't really know what drops I need for this episode is the problem. Like, these last two episodes haven't really had anything to clip is the main problem.
I came into this thinking that there was a lot to clip, but apparently I was wrong.
Busy again, as well.
Yeah. No, you have been really busy lately.
And I'm still prepping for next week's subathon, so... which will be this week by the time this episode comes out. So yeah, I've been Hope Freyrall, twitch.tv/HopeFreyrall, and twitter.com/HFreyrall, which is where you'll find all the updates on the podcast. And YouTube, HFreyrall on YouTube. I'm Hope Freyrall on YouTube. I'm uploading the podcast there with comedy visuals.
Comedy!
Comedy! Comedy! That's some bad comedy.
This is bad comedy. Anyway, I've been Ryan. I exist here, and I exist here.
He exists in your phone and in your computer and in your mirror. Enjoy.
Enjoy me.
He's wish.com GB.
Honestly, I was more thinking Ryan could like do Ryan with that voice would make a great taskmaster. My name is Ryan. I am the taskmaster. I am strong and powerful.
My name is Ryan. I am the Taskmaster. Enjoy me.
Can we just give him Brian Blessed's voice at that point?
Brian
you
Blessed.
You mean Brian Blessed? What do you mean?
Oh, he's doing voices now.
You gave me a voice I wanted to do.
And before we go completely off the rails, I am Blaze Solaris. I'm at twitch.tv/BlazeSolaris. I haven't been streaming lately. I'm going to get back to it. Don't you worry. And I am also on Twitter at AdiraSol because I was different over there. I don't know why I went that route, but I'm not fixing it.
All right. All right. Why are you still here? Fuck off. Podcast done. Go away.
No, I don't want to go anyway. No, bugger off.
Go away. Wait.
All right. Fuck, where's the stop button?
That's your lot. Get out. I'm
go.
Just going to keep saying go away.
Go away.
Leave.
Oh, the brain scoop gets you and the teletubbies hunt you down.